You called yesterday. I was kicked back in my recliner. I don't think I was having my first cup of coffee yet, but it was my birthday. So I was planning not to go to the office, just do nothing all day. And then we had company last night, some friends that we've grown up knowing each other. And so it was quite a shock, Richard. But and then he said, can you do the evening service? And I'm like, well, we had some plans, but I asked Sharon, yeah, let's do it, you know. And I enjoy the opportunity to share God's word with people. And so barbecues can go away and other kicking back in the recliners, not important, because it challenges me to study. And a lot of times if I'm speaking, I spend all week hours and got books and reading and studying and stuff. So this one is almost impromptu, you know. But the song we sang this morning, the first one, is the second verse. It says, oh, give us homes with godly fathers and mothers who always place their hope and trust in Him, whose tender patience turmoil never bothers, whose common courage trouble cannot dim, a home where each finds joy in serving others, and love still shines, though day be dark and grim. And it's Mother's Day, so we should be talking about mothers today. And it just, give us homes with godly fathers and mothers. My dad didn't come to know the Lord till I was, I don't know, 14 or 15 years old. But my mother, after she got my brother, oldest brother and I dressed every Sunday morning, gave us our morning spanking, we went to church. And some of you aren't laughing. We got spanked every day. Only because of God's great love for us and a godly mother can I stand here today trained as well as I was, because my mother believed in spanking us, and I was probably one of the orneriest children on the block. I admit it. That's why I when we work with kids, I get to catch them, because I probably did it and got caught. But my oldest brother and I, we talk about getting spanked every day. Whether we needed it or not, we got spanked. And when my mother was still alive, she would tell people that. She spanked us every day, and most of the time we needed it. But can you imagine, and I don't know, who in here that's married, been married, your parents arranged your marriage? Arranged your marriage. Have you ever heard of it? It still happens today. There are cultures in the world today where the parents decide who their children are going to marry. We're praying for a godly man for our daughter. Our daughter's 27, and I love babies, so I'm looking forward to the day we can have grandkids. Our middle son is married, but he says he's not having children till he gets through with seminary. Okay, that's a good thing, but I want grandkids. And I thought, you know, what about an arranged marriage? You know, find this godly guy and arrange this marriage. It worked. It should work. It worked for years. And do you realize that in those arranged marriages, a lot of times the bride didn't know the groom and the groom didn't know the bride? They got married, and then they grew in love. They fell in love after they got married. And it was, you didn't think about getting a divorce. I know there was, our children had the privilege of going to a Christian high school, and the man who cleaned the school arranged his daughter's marriage. When she graduated from high school, he sent her to India, and she got married. Oh yeah, this 5-6 years ago, and I'm like, this is pretty weird. But those two young people would fall in love, and everyone hoped that they would stay together long enough. Or today our society oh, we fall in love, and they get married, and we pray they stay together long enough to get their kids raised. We went to a pastor's meeting Tuesday morning, and a godly couple who has known me since before I was born. The man was my mother's pastor in the 40s. And he lives in Poway, California. He's been blind since 1949 or 1950. He retired as a pastor 2 years ago. I said, and because we were in San Diego and they're getting up in their years, we thought, let's go visit Pastor Spice. So we're sitting in his little, they call it a granny flat. They've had to move in with one of their children and they build a little apartment. And I said, Pastor Spice, can I ask you something? And he said, yeah. And I said, how long have you been married? And he said, July 1st, 1941, we were married. He said, we started dating. He said, our first date was September 22nd, 1934. And neither him or his wife had ever dated anyone else. They dated 7 years, got him through Bible school, into his first pastorate, got married, and 65 years, the 1st of June, they've been together. He married us. He drove to Arizona from California, and he married us 30 years ago this month. And we were trying to decide, actually I was going to surprise my wife and I was going to take her on this really special weekend to celebrate 30 years of marriage. I was looking on the internet to figure out, you know, what can we do in our budget for our 30th anniversary. And I was looking at San Diego or maybe going down to visit the little church in Mexico. And you know where we're going to celebrate our 30th anniversary? Nairobi, Kenya. Does not God have a sense of humor? I was thinking we'll go for a weekend in San Diego, get a nice hotel room. And last month, God opened an opportunity for us to go to Nairobi. And it was either we were going to celebrate my birthday in Nairobi, or we were going to celebrate our anniversary. The only two time frames that we had this for months to go and do this. So pray for us. Tonight I'm going to talk about building on a solid foundation. And I'm going to show you six pictures. Normally, when a missionary goes overseas to another country, they don't show you the slideshow till after they get home. But I want to show you six slides, and they all pertain to building on a solid foundation tonight. It showed up on my computer yesterday, so I know it's a God thing that I'm going to be able to do that tonight. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Richard read my main passage, but I want to start at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. It says, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And I thank God for my wife, that God sent me a godly wife 30 years ago that's put up with all kinds of nonsense and craziness from me. But, you know, it says that we're going to leave our children an inheritance. But the mothers are the prudent ones. A prudent wife is from the Lord. How blessed we can be to have godly wives. I feel blessed, and as I think about it, to have a godly mother. And I remember rebelling about having to go to church every time the doors were opened, except on Thursday for visitation. I remember our kids growing up. We traveled a lot in our ministry, and our kids would say, do we have to go again? I'm like, yes, we're going to do this together as a family. And they got used to traveling with mom and dad, doing whatever we were doing, in whatever city we were doing. Because we were a family. And I thank my wife for training up my kids because I worked. And she spent time with them. We were privileged to be in ministry where we lived in our ministry with our children in their early years. So they were tagging along with us while we were doing ministry. But, you know, how many of you remember hearing it? Marriage is a 50-50 partnership. I grew up hearing that. But you know what I've realized? It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. Because I went into my marriage making a commitment to my wife, and she made the same commitment to me to stay married till death do us part. And we actually followed Scripture. We tried to live in the same town with both of our parents the first year that we were married, and then we moved 1,500 miles away. For a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. My dad had passed away a few years before we were married. Every Sunday, and it was funny, we found out years later, every Sunday Mom would call. We went to the same church. Mom would call, say, "You coming over for lunch today?" So we would, after lunch, we'd go do the mom thing. We found out years later, she thought that she had to invite us over because Sharon didn't know how to cook and we were too poor to have food in the house. We thought we were going because we had to do this because Mom wanted us to. Mom thought, "I have to do this because she can't cook." Well, obviously, my wife knows how to cook. But we realized that for our marriage to grow, we needed to leave. We went off to Bible school, and then we went out to work at a youth camp for juvenile delinquents that was 16 miles from the nearest telephone. We had a baby where we had to go get buckets of water because the pump had froze. We had to go get them out of a stream. And buckets to flush the toilet, buckets to cook with and drink with. And you know what? Those were some hard years, but you know what? We grew together because we didn't have anybody else to depend on except each other. Ice storm hits, knocks out the power. We've got a 2-month-old baby and a half a gallon of liquid propane or Coleman fuel. We heated till we got our power back. We grew strong together in our marriage through those times. We've gone through some other tough ones, but God gave me a prudent wife. And it takes 100% from both of us. And sometimes I'm probably about 90 or 95 or less. I won't. The wife is either going to be a builder or a destroyer of a home. Go to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." And it's not talking about a physical building. It's talking about a spiritual building. You know, think of godly mothers in the Old Testament. You know, there were some really godly wives and there were some that weren't really so godly. Richard referred to Job's wife today, and if you want an example of how not to build up your house, look at him. But look at Moses' mother. Did she help train Moses up? She knew he was to be killed, so she took him and hid him. Then, when he was taken into Pharaoh's house, she became his nurse. Who taught Moses about God? His mother did. Who taught me mostly about what I know about God? My mother, Helen Robertson, Betty Ruth Stevens, Marilyn Beller. I can tell you from the time I was little who my Bible teachers were in church and in Sunday school, vacation Bible school. They were women. They were godly women that God put in my path. I can tell you, I was saved because Helen Robertson shared the gospel of Christ with me in vacation Bible school. And back then it was hell and fire and brimstone. Either get saved or you're going to burn in hell. And I'm like, I don't want to go to that place. And that was the biggest lady I mean, she was huge. And in reality, when you're this big, everybody's big. But we became really good friends. Her son and I still see each other periodically. She probably has no idea the influence that that Bible teaching did. And I'm glad that you honored the teachers, Richard, because those of you that teach children, you know, you don't know how it's going to come back. I had the opportunity of speaking at our home church in Tucson, Arizona last Sunday night at an Awana Awards ceremony. They celebrated 25 years of Awana. And after I spoke, they opened up the microphone. And there were children whose children were in Awana, who we had as children, who got up and said that the teaching that they got from some of the women in that program is why they're where they are today. You know, moms, just women, moms, grandmas, what an awesome opportunity you have. But 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Be wise in what you're doing and how you're doing it with people that you come in contact with. Go on back another page to chapter 12, verse 4. It says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. And we've probably all heard the modern cliche, behind every good man is a good woman. And I can tell you, our ministry would not be where it is today if God hadn't given me a good woman. Because I don't function well doing all the... How many of you make lists? More of the women than the men. Richard's laughing. Your wife makes lists, doesn't she? I actually wrote a list not long ago and I thought my wife was going to pass out because I don't do lists. I fly by the seat of my pants and she has to have everything just detailed out. For this trip to Kenya, I bet she has a 2-page list of everything that we have to have. She was reading to me from something the other day about, well, how about this in our first aid kit? And I'm like, I don't even know what some of this stuff is. But if it needs to be on there, and it's on the list, she'll take care of it. But a good man needs a good woman behind him. Are you a crown or a cancer to your man? Basically what it says, an excellent wife is a crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The only kind of rottenness I know is cancer. To put it in everyday terms, I mean, you're either a cancer or a crown to your man. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 31. I know Richard read it this morning, and I appreciate that. So... Verses 10, 11, and 12 says, who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will not lack of gain. She does him good and no evil all the days of her life. This shows us a woman of character. I think God gave us these examples, and there are several points here, but shows us a woman of character in verses 10 through 12. Go over to 1 Peter real quick. Keep your thumb in Proverbs because we're going to go back there. But 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 1 through 6. Gives counsel to women. In his day, it says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. My father was not a believer. My mother probably was not a believer when she married my father. But through, I believe through her faithfulness and her prayers, my father became saved. My brother turned his back on the Lord in 1969, and Mom prayed for him faithfully till she went home to be with the Lord. My brother's back in church. Don't agree completely with where he's going, but I'm hoping that God will move him from there to a more Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. But my father, I believe, was won because of faithful prayers of my mother. And when they observe your chaste, conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of your heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with terror. I feel blessed to have a godly wife who's beautiful on the outside and the inside. You know, you don't always know what's on the inside. And I can tell you what's on the inside of my wife because I've seen it. She's been my strength, my helper. She's been a major influence in my walk with the Lord. I won't go into a lot of detail, but my walk with the Lord wasn't where it should be when I met my wife. I was a recovering alcoholic. Actually, not when we met. I was in that. But when we started dating, I was recovering from a bad bout of drinking. And God put her in my path and had never drank in her whole life. She hadn't done the secular music stuff, hadn't done any of the garbage that I'd gotten myself into. And I believe that God put her there or I wouldn't be here today. I know that we've got a good friend who is married to a non-believer. She cries. She cries almost every time she hears a sermon like this because she knows that she's not equally yoked and that her husband is going to die and go to hell. And we found out last week when we were home that they'd just done a biopsy on his lungs because they believe he has lung cancer. And it's tearing the family up because the whole family is believers except for the husband. And I think sometimes we get into relationships thinking, well, we can change that person. But only God can do that. Back in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 13 to 22 and verse 24 says, she is a woman who worked hard. Verse 22, she made tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. But you see in these passages, you know, this woman worked hard. She was up late at night, and she got up early in the morning. She was a worker. She didn't believe in just sitting around watching TV and eating bonbons. She took care of the family. Verses 14 and 15, you know, she's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises up while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her servants. She went to the store, got the food, brought it home, prepared it. I mean, she was a worker. She's a workaholic, I think. And she's a real estate agent. You know, verse 16, she considered a field and buys it. From her profit, she plants a vineyard. I mean, she's a good wife. She works hard. She takes care of her family by providing food for them. She's buying land, and then she's planting crops. I mean, she's out there working. And that's where she's probably got to be a list maker to be able to make sure she can get everything done. Okay, what do I got to do in the morning, you know? But verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. You know, a good hard worker, provider for her family, but she's a generous person, and she's giving to those in need. The pastor's wife I was telling you about who's blind, his wife shared with us memories of my mother. And I think her mind's a little fuzzy because my mother never lived in the town that she thought she did, but how she would take them in. Can you imagine? Now, some of you are a lot older than I am, but in the 50s, being the pastor of a church with five children, living in a parsonage that didn't have windows or doors, had sheets and blankets for the openings, and your church paid you $25 a month, and when you asked for a raise to 50 because you had some needs, they fired you. That's what happened to this man. And she said that my mother used to have them into their home. And my dad was a grocer, owned a grocery store, and at Christmas time he had put together Christmas boxes and a Christmas tree to take to his family. Not a believer, but I think part of that was prodding from Mom, that these people were needy and needed help. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gate, and when he sits among the elders of the land. This wife makes it easy for her husband to do his work. You know, today when we see women on the city council, we probably don't think a whole lot about it, but in those days, the women didn't have real high places of authority. But she made it easy for her husband, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in times to come. She's confident as she faces the future. She's a woman of faith, and she knows God will take care of whatever her needs are. And how often I think we slip into, my job will take care of my needs, or, you know, I can take care of whatever I have myself, and we don't rely on God. But when we, in reality, we know that everything we have comes from Him. And she's showing us that, you know, she's taking confidence in her love for the Lord, love for God, that she's a woman of faith. Verse 26, she teaches with wisdom. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's teaching with wisdom, but with kindness. And I think that's why when we were little, our Sunday school teachers were women and our vacation Bible school teachers were women, because they taught with wisdom but also with kindness. Most of us guys are too gruff to teach little kids with kindness, I think. She was attentive to the details. She watched over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She watched the details of her house, and she wasn't idle. Verses 28 and 29, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. She was worthy of praise. And I think sometimes I don't give my wife enough praise for all that she does and has done for me in our marriage, but we've got an example here that we need to be praising our wives and our mothers. What did this woman have in verse 30? Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And this woman feared the Lord. And in 31, she says, give her of the fruits of her hands, and let your own works praise her in the gates. Her life is a testimony to others. You look at the woman, the way that she provided for her family, she provided for her servants. She was able to manage a household. She feared the Lord, but her life